Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Donald. I'm one of the pastors here at First Alliance Church, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's so good to see you today. And I mean, literally, it's good to see you. And I thank God for the privilege of standing before you to declare His word, and my prayer is that you will see Him as He longs to be seen, and that you would understand His love for you and the provisions He's made so that you can spend eternity enjoying Him. When I was younger, and may I say much younger, there were times when my body would come up with an idea that was physically very, very challenging, and my brain would be jumping up and down and says, wait, hold on, buckaroo. You need to rethink that thing. Sometimes my brain would win. Other times my brain would almost win. And when that would happen, my body would suffer from it. Now, things have changed. My brain will come up with some things that are physically very challenging. And my body, without jumping up and down, would shout, seriously? you really going to do that, huh? We change. Humans change. Isaiah 47, verse 7 says, the grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord, and so it is with people. We change physically. That change begins, I believe, from the moment of conception in the womb until our spirit and our soul leave our body. We hunger. We thirst. We grow old. We become weary. We become tired. We change emotionally. We experience joy. We experience sadness and happiness. We experience fear, love, and hate. We change mentally. I believe that we change mentally while in the womb. And while I will not get my medical degree before next Tuesday, I'm convinced that the atmosphere in which the child is carried in the womb has a tremendous impact on the development of that child once leaving the womb. Again, I won't get my medical degree before next Tuesday, but I'm thoroughly convinced of that. Now, I'm not trying to convince anybody that humans change. Now, we all know that. Little children understand that truth. Nor am I suggesting that all change is necessarily bad. There are some changes that are actually very good. Children are not only expected to change physically, they're expected to change mentally and emotionally. After birth, the whole world becomes a classroom. We gain knowledge and ideas, and throughout our lives, we learn and we grow. And in the process of learning, we gain wisdom and understanding. Some change is not good. For some things happen in the brain. And as we grow older, it can limit our ability to remember things as we once did. I have a brother-in-law who is in the advanced stages of dementia. And I call him a jewel of a man. But the last time we visited him, last month, he did not recognize us. He said he did, but he could not call our names. But one thing that is so amazing and that brings joy to my heart is that he remembers Jesus. He sings about Jesus all the time. Throughout the day, he could be doing one thing and he breaks out in a song about Jesus. You see, he remembered his Creator when he was young, and now Jesus is now etched on his heart. and that will never be taken away. And so as the writer of Ecclesiastes says, remember your Creator while you are still in your youth. When you grow old and you begin to say, I find no pleasure in life. The Bible passage is so very important that we just share it. And I think it pretty well sums up what we've been talking about up to now. And so I want to remind us all the importance of getting to know God while you are young. Because you never will know when you will be unable to. You do not have to grow old for things to happen that you lose that ability to know God. And so get to know God now. Humans change, but God, on the other hand, is the one and only being in the universe who never changes. God is eternal. God is the creator of the world. God holds all things together. And this brings us to the subject for today, the eternality and unchangeableness of God. Let us pray. Lord God, we are so grateful to know that you are the eternal God. You are the everlasting Father. You were here when everything else began. In fact, you brought it into existence. And we thank you and we praise you for the privilege of having the knowledge that you have imparted unto us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would cause us to grow in that knowledge of who you are. I pray that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding so that we might walk in a manner that is worthy of you, that we might be fruitful in every good work, and that we might increase in the knowledge of who you are. May you be glorified. Open up our hearts and our minds that we may receive your truth today. And grant by your Spirit that we will walk in your truth, that we will talk by your truth, that we will live by your truth, and give you praise, glory, and honor, which they are yours by right. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The eternality and unchangeableness of God. Immutability is one of God's attributes. Our text for today says, have you not heard? Have you never understood? The Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth, he never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. Malachi 3:6 says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. God is our eternal God. The concept of God as an eternal being has endured and will endure forever in the cornerstones of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. The psalmist ponders this very idea, and he exclaims in Psalms 90, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The psalmist further considers those words, and he considers and thinks about the transitory nature of our being in the backdrop, against the backdrop of God's eternality. And he says, we live our lives beneath your wrath, ending our years with a groan. 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80, and yes, we know that some live beyond that. But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and we fly away. Who can comprehend the power of your anger? Your wrath is as awesome as the fear you deserve. So we know that God is the everlasting God, but we are finite. We change. The grass withers and the flower fades. And so it is with you and with me. The prophet Isaiah writes that God is the everlasting Father. He is an everlasting rock. The eternal nature of God and the transitory nature of man are depicted throughout the scriptures. And one of the best known passages would be in Psalm 104. And because of this, the psalmist says in verse 33 of 104 Psalms, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. You get that? I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. You see, he understood that there might be a time when he might not be able to do that. And I dare say that it could happen to any one of us that in any given time, in any given moment, we would maybe rendered unable to sing unto the Lord. And so he says, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. While I'm still able to do it, I will sing praise unto my God. Habakkuk writes, are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? Are you not from everlasting? You have ordained them as judgment, and you, O rock, have established them for reproof. Moses writes in Deuteronomy, the eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he drove out the enemy from before you. He said, destroy. Psalm 121, 4 and 5 says, indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. And ladies and gentlemen, that speaks to you and to me today. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord watches over you. The Lord provides for you. Sometimes I can imagine, as I have done, to my shame, laid awake almost all night worrying about something. Worrying about how am I going to solve a problem. Sometimes I was worried about a problem that really didn't exist. Oh, you've been there. Don't look at me like you've never been there. No, you've been there. Just worrying. You know what? Go to sleep. God is up all night, so he can take care of whatever is concerning you at the moment and on tomorrow. So lay down and rest in the Lord, because he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He doesn't take coffee breaks. He doesn't need to. He is the everlasting God. And he watches over you, just as the psalmist says he watched over Israel. Our Lord watches over you. He is the eternal God. He is the creator of this universe. Everything that exists, exists because God created it. That should be comforting to us to know that we are in his hands. Now, in order to be the creator of something, the creator must exist before the creation. And so Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we know that God had to already be there in order to create the heavens and the earth. But carry this over to the New Testament. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's talking about Jesus Christ. So why would you put your trust in anything else or anybody else? He's the creator. Colossians says, for by him, that is Jesus Christ, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is, don't miss this, before all things, and in him all things hold together. We're talking about Jesus. Why would you put your trust in any Johnny-come-lately religious leader who himself is a created being? You get to know, you have a relationship with the creator of the world. You're in the safest place. My wife and I have thought about moving, you know, different places, different times, and somebody asked me, well, where are you going to move to? And I stop. The best place to be is not necessarily geographical. The best place to be is in the center of God's will. And so wherever that takes you physically, if you are in the center of his will, you are in the best place. But keep that in focus. That is always the best place to be. And I know that there are people who are doubting that Jesus is the creator. In fact, they're doubting that the world was created by an eternal being. You know, actually, that takes more faith than for me to believe that an eternal being created everything. Because what that is saying is that everything came together by itself. When you doubt that there is a creator, our Bible tells us who that creator is. And they said, well, show me some evidence that God is the creator. You know what? Here's something every one of you can do. When somebody tells you, I'd like to see some evidence that God is the creator, you know what you do? Tell them, get up, walk outside, and look up. Look around. Paul writes to the Roman church and he says, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. Listen to this. Romans 1:20 says, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. None. It may sound good when you are in a room full of people that, okay, I'm so intelligent, I got this reason to believe that. No. God says that you have no excuse for not knowing me. Then he goes on, he gives an indictment. He says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. And we see a lot of confused people who seem to be very brilliant, maybe highly educated, but yet their minds are confused because they do not know God. Let me say that it should be noted that eternity is not simply an abstract term in the biblical writings. Rather, it refers to an aspect of God's multifaceted nature, that is, of an endless duration of his being. God is eternal. He is everlasting. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He's not bound by time, and yet he works in time for our good. He's the Lord of both eternity and time, and he has demonstrated that he's able to do things in time. Because Jesus stepped out of eternity into the time, space, and history of man in order to effect God's eternal plan of redemption. Listen to this from Titus. Paul writes to Titus. He says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness. You know, I need to say that one more time because you can't begin to imagine how many people I talk to who think that they, if they believe they're going to heaven, it is because they are good. That somehow that they are good enough to make themselves acceptable unto God. The fact that Jesus came demonstrates that we are not. You may be good, but you're not that good. Listen to this again. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, the Lord Jesus Christ, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out of us richly through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that, being justified by his grace, being justified by his unmerited, his undeserved favor, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And when God makes these promises of eternal life, he will never go back on it. There's a passage in Hebrews where the scripture says, God made a promise to Abraham. And because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you. It's kind of like God being on a witness stand. Now, you know, obviously when we come up with our illustrations, I know that all of my illustrations fall short of what they really should be. But it's God is like saying to Abraham, I will bless you, so help me. And because he's eternal, he can stand behind whatever his blessings are, whatever he decrees. And so because God is eternal in his nature, his decrees and his attributes are also eternal. Everything that God has said is true and is lasting. Not one iota of the Ten Commandments has ever changed. We change our ideas about God. We come up with things about what we think God should and should not accept. But we need to always go back to see what God's word says. I remember a story by R.C. Sproul where he had been invited to preach at a particular church. And after the worship service was over, they gathered at a particular home. And they went into a room and they started doing these chants. And really what they were engaging in was necromancy. And he says, wait, what are you doing? Don't you know that that is against what God says? And their response was, well, you know what? That's Old Testament. We're not in the New Testament. And R.C. Sproul said, he responded, tell me, what is it about the character and nature of God has changed so that the things that he abhorred in the Old Testament has now become a thing of delight for him in the New Testament? What has changed in the character of God that says that the things that God says are sin in the Old Testament, that all of a sudden in the New Testament, because Jesus Christ has come, now they've become a thing of delight? No, the very fact that Jesus came says that these things are sinful and that we needed a redeemer. Are you with me? Am I making sense? Huh? Amen. I want to. God has not changed. God does not change. You know, when I was young, I used to think, well, there is nothing that God can't do. Nothing that God can't do. And when I grow old and learn the scriptures, there are some things that God can't do. Are you with me? Have I piqued your interest? There are some things that God can't do. Number one, God can't lie. Anybody agree with that? God cannot break a promise. Can anybody agree with that? God cannot change. Not only does God not change, he cannot change. He can never cease to be God. God cannot be created, nor can he be diminished. He has always been God, and he always will be God, and that will change, that will never change, never change, never change, never change, never change. He cannot change. And so when God makes a promise, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish. You know, you know what I'm saying? I give unto them, my sheep, eternal life, and they will never perish. You can bank on that. You see, his steadfast love endures forever, says the psalmist in Psalm 136. The counsel of the Lord stands forever in Psalms 33:11. God is the everlasting Father in Isaiah 9:5. He's an everlasting rock in Isaiah 26:4. Grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God will never fail. It will stand forever, says Isaiah 47. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. What does that tell you about Jesus? He's God. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're not saved because God has lowered his standard of righteousness, but because Jesus has satisfied the justice of God, the eternal justice of God, on our behalf. This is just one part of what makes his grace so amazing. I'd like to invite the worship team to come back to the stage. God's plan of redemption reflects his eternal being. Ephesians chapter 1, and I've had no small number of arguments about this with people who do not want to believe what God says. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That phrase, before the foundation of the world, causes people to take a step back and say, wait. You mean it has nothing to do with me? I think you're getting it. Will you accept it? Before the foundation of the world. Wait a minute. What does that mean? He blessed you in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And what that means in the Greek is that before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and blameless before him. He is the one that makes you holy and blameless before himself. You do not do that yourself. And his eternal word declares it. Jesus prays in which we call the Lord's Prayer. In John 17:24, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you have loved me before the foundation of the world. You are so blessed. We are so blessed that we get to know the God of the universe, the creator and the sustainer of this world. And so we want to give praise, glory, and honor to him. We want to worship him because his word is eternal, and his word is eternal because he himself is eternal.